Well, it's an expression we're all familiar with. We've all heard it. It's this: the journey of 9,508 miles begins with a single step through the security line. Right. Last Sunday, Grace continued our partnership with World Vision and the Chosen Child Sponsorship Program. And if you felt called to be chosen, you had your picture taken out in the commons, and then a group of us left that night and flew to Zambia with those pictures. It's a long way away. So we took your picture Sunday evening back last night. We got to experience the choosing party, where these kids got to do something that's rare for them, and that's make a choice. Because most choices are made for these children. It's decided for them that work is a priority over school. They're born into the circumstance of drinking unclean water. And they don't get to choose that they have to wear the same clothes every day. But the generosity of you, of Grace, enabled them to make a choice, to choose the smiling faces that would validate their dignity and show God's love to them in Zambia. It took a lot of flying to get there and back, and boy, are my arms tired. Hello, folks. But the flight that loomed on the itinerary was flight Delta Lima 201 from Johannesburg, South Africa to Atlanta, Georgia, the 13th longest flight in existence. There were about 400 total passengers on our Airbus A350-900. 48 of those people laid down in first-class luxury beds. 12 of them sat upright, inches away from flushing toilets. Drastically different circumstances, but the same desire: to arrive safely. Now, will those who paid 20 times as much for luxury, would they arrive safely? If the plane does. What about the keepers of the bathroom door? Would they arrive safely? If the plane does. Safe arrival for everyone rested on the same foundation, the plane. And this long journey points to a greater journey, our homecoming, where we arrive in the presence of God when we leave this world behind. And safe arrival to our eternal home rests on a single foundation of faith in Jesus. It doesn't matter where you lay your head at night. Doesn't matter if you are wealthy or wanting, if you are youthful or youth long gone. We all have the single hope: faith in Jesus. So we're currently in a series in the book of Galatians where Paul does his straightest of shooting, and he enforces the fact that for followers of Jesus, faith is the foundation. But before we look at our text today, we have to ask two questions. What is faith, and what is that faith in? Thankfully, the Bible answers both of these. Hebrews tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the confidence that things will unfold just as God says. So Galatians 3 begins with Paul reminding the Galatians, we're in chapter 3, starting in verse 1 today, Galatians 3, 1. Paul reminded the Galatians, he said, "It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." So at one time, the death of Jesus had been before their eyes. They had once seen life through the hope of the resurrection of Jesus. And maybe you relate. Maybe at one time you saw the tragedy of this life through the triumph of Jesus. You were able to keep the heartache of this life in perspective because you knew there was a future where pain and suffering are no more. But time goes by. Life gets real. It gets hard. there's more at stake. We can't be bothered with faith when there are real problems, right? But Paul urges us, get back to your foundation. He says, you don't have to strive harder, you don't have to work harder, but remember what your faith is in, the victory of Jesus. So Paul shows us three ways that faith is the foundation that we stand on. First, we see that faith is the foundation of salvation. Faith is the foundation of salvation. Ephesians says, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So we receive the Spirit when we come to faith in Jesus. So Paul asks the Galatians in verse 2, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So the law is a set of rules given to God's people. When they were given to the Old Testament followers of God, people weren't saved by following these rules. They were saved by their faith. So we receive salvation not by following rules, but by faith. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. So we receive salvation in the Spirit, not by following rules, but by faith. Faith is the foundation of salvation. Faith is the foundation of the transformation that brings us from death to life. When we were in Zambia, there were a few gentlemen who were from Zambia. They live there. They are on the ground working for World Vision. And their job is they go out to these villages. They know the community. They know their needs. They help them. They serve them. They are the hands and feet of Jesus and their organization there in Zambia. And the first night we were there, they introduced themselves to us, and one had been working with World Vision 18 years, the next one 20, 24 years, 28 years. And so over the course of the few days we were there, we just asked them, what keeps you doing this for 28 years? And the word we kept hearing was transformation. They said, we get to see transformation. We saw a family who World Vision is just beginning to partner with, that they eat an average of 3 times a week. I mean, when Jesus says you serve the least of these, those people are just as valuable as us. They are made in God's image. But they are in need. And so World Vision is there helping them. So we saw that. And then the next day we saw a family who World Vision has been helping only for a couple of years. And the transformation is unlike anything I've ever seen. Not only are they thriving, they are serving other people. They're serving their community. So we see this transformation. And the reason we partner with World Vision, the reason those men have been doing this so long, is not because they believe in an organization or a program or a ministry. It's because we and they have been transformed by Jesus. We have been brought from death to life. So it's not an option that we help those in need. It is who we are. So faith is the foundation of that transformation. Faith is the foundation of our salvation. Paul also tells us faith is the foundation of righteousness. Righteousness means that we are considered right before God, and we're forgiven. We're on our own, we're guilty, because we naturally, as sinful people, choose our desires over God. That's what we do. But we are made righteous by our faith. Faith is the foundation of righteousness. I muted that too fast. This started at the very beginning of the Bible with Abraham. Galatians 3, verses 5 and 6 says, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? So when Abraham had faith and was considered righteous, there was no law for him to obey. The law had not even been given yet, so Abraham was right with God because of his faith. We are made right with God through our faith in Jesus. Romans 3 says, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. It's righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So faith is the foundation of our righteousness. Jennifer, you can come on up. I just wanted to show you, the kids we met in Zambia, they didn't have to earn our love. Right? We saw these beautiful children made in God's image, and we love them. So I want to introduce you to my friend Jennifer King. She came as a chosen champion to represent our Lindale campus, and she has a pretty great story to tell you through a microphone. Thank you, sir.
I can talk really loud.
Jacob, could you turn that mic on?
Okay. I am going to use my notes because it'll just be easier for me, hopefully. So going on a vision trip was actually an answer to a prayer. I had asked God to see what World Vision was doing and to see if we were really making a difference. And I will tell you, I have been blessed to see. We started out at the Chosen Party, where some of you are going to be see and meet your people. We were at Mochila. And as we watched the children, it struck me that this might be the only choice, again, that you've heard Kyle say, that they have ever been given. What I love about Chosen is, again, they didn't have to do anything to earn our love. We just get to love them as Christ loved us. In John 15:16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last." We got to see and get to see the fruit of the lives of those who are chosen versus those who are not. We visited Julius and Alice, which this is them on the screen. They have 9 children, and that includes a 1-month-old baby. They are starving. They eat a few times a week, 2 to 3 times a week. I've never seen anyone who is actually starving before. You say that all the time. But we actually saw people who are starving. We walked to their water, and it is a dirty water hole in the ground. We would never drink that water. We would do nothing with that water. And that's what they drink. We actually asked Julius, "What is your hope?" And he said, "My hope for my family is that we have clean water." And so as we listened to their story and heard them, he was telling us all goodbye. We were all standing in a circle, and he shook everyone's hand, and he got to the end, and he came back to me, and he stood in front of me, and he held his hands out, and I reached out and held his hands, and he looked at me, and he said, "The baby will be called Jennifer." And I held that sweet baby, and we prayed over her, and it broke my heart to think what her life is actually going to be like if I don't help her, if I don't do something. The good news is Julius and his family are going to get clean water before the end of the year. So in stark contrast, the next day we were able to meet our sponsored children from last year. If you participated in Chosen last year, Lo Shimo was our little boy. And he is happy and healthy and has food and water and is thriving in school. The difference between Julius and his children the day before and Lo Shimo was astounding. Our calling is to be a steward of the life and resources that we've been given. It is practical, I learned, that sometimes it's not just speaking the word of the gospel, but it's actually doing, just like meeting those needs like Jesus did. This was so much bigger than I ever imagined when I went, but it starts with just one. So we started with one, and we came home from Africa with 4. But just to see the difference in sponsorship the kids that aren't sponsored versus those that have the hope of meeting you and getting you, and those that already have a sponsor is transformational. You can see too, connect with your kids, write to them, send them photos. They loved pictures. They never see pictures. Ask them questions, speak hope and love over them. Show them your love by connecting with them. Together, we get to be the feet of Jesus, and we got to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So thank you.
Hey, thank you. And I want to tell you, I'm proud of you. Like, you jumped in with this group of people you don't really know.
Yes.
And you show Jesus to those people in Zambia, but also to us. You were like the team mom. You took care of us. She was the team doctor.
Yes, I was the team doctor with no skills.
So those kids didn't have to earn our love, right? And Romans 5 tells us we don't have to earn God's love because he showed his love for us by giving Jesus to die for us. When we have faith in Jesus, we are freed from trying to earn God's love. So faith is the foundation of freedom. Faith in Jesus frees us from working to earn God's love. Because apart from Jesus, we do try to live a good life that will earn God's love. But Paul tells us that that working and that striving is cursed. Think of it this way. Imagine you've been driving for 50 years and you have a perfect driving record. Anybody?
No.
Like, never pulled over, you've never heard. I saw a very hesitant hand go up. I won't say where. Never heard license and registration, please. So you hit the 50-year mark and you go, you know what? I'm going to celebrate. Tonight, I'm going to drive through town with my lights off through red lights at about 103 miles an hour to celebrate. But if you're seen by a law enforcement officer, you have broken the law, and then there is a consequence, right? 50 years of perfection is cursed by one fun ride. Because we're not given a reward for following the rules, right? The law only condemns, but faith gives us freedom. Trying to follow all the rules is cursed because it's impossible. But Paul says in verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. And Jesus hung on a tree on the cross to die under our curse and rise from under its weight. So faith in Jesus is the foundation of salvation, of righteousness, and of freedom. Have you ever been asked a question you didn't know how to answer?
Perhaps it's
this one. Paul used questions to drive the Galatians inward and to evaluate what they believe. So I thought it'd be healthy for us to just ask ourselves these questions. So I took three of his questions and I kind of paraphrase them to fit our context so we could ask ourselves. So first, based on verse 2, have you received salvation by faith in Jesus? If not, it's a gift that is, it's not just offered to you today, it's a gift that's given to you. Jesus paid, bless you, Jesus paid for this and it's yours. It's yours to take. And if you've never done that, it is as simple as saying, God, I need you. I realize that my working is cursed. My way doesn't work. I need you. I accept your salvation. And if you have not done that or you have questions about that, please come talk to Lewis today or me or anyone who's been up here, and we would love to talk to you about that. Next question, based on verse 3, are you allowing God's power to work in you? Because we've seen when you have faith, you receive the Holy Spirit. That means the very power that raised Jesus from death to life is alive in you. So are you allowing that power to work? I mean, it's like you've got the Airbus A350-900 parked in your driveway, but you just choose to jump off the roof with cardboard on your arms. Don't work yourself sick when you've got the power of the Spirit alive in you. My favorite question Paul asks, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Or in our context, "You silly Lindalians, what are you believing? Where's your truth found? Your truth? The news? Or politics? Social media? Do you base your information on podcasts or influencers or shows that depend on an addiction to screens and money from advertisers? Or is your truth based on the Word of God? That's alive, that's active, that never changes but is always relevant. Where is your truth found?" So I'm stating the obvious, but our 17-hour flight is over and we all arrive safely. The privileged few nestled in their beds, that doesn't include anyone in this picture, and the heroic middle seat occupiers. We all arrive safely because our hope was built on the same foundation, the plane. I'm coming in for a fast landing, so worship team, you can go ahead and come on up. So for our journey of life, the path to God's love is built on the foundation of faith in Jesus. You can try, but 1 Corinthians says no one can lay a foundation other than what we already have, Jesus Christ. If Jesus is your Savior, you cannot earn God's love because you already have it. And faith in Jesus is the foundation of salvation, of righteousness, and freedom. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are our firm foundation. You are our source of life, of joy. And when the storms come, you are there. You don't change. You're the reason that we keep going, that we keep pursuing what you've put before us, that we keep growing, that we keep turning back to you when we stray. God, in you alone is hope. You are our firm foundation. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you stand and let's thank him for that together.